And we're joined now by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
I am doing good. Vic, it's good to have you back in Berea.
Yeah, it's good to be it's good to be back. So speaking of being around Berea, the IX Center was a place last night where Brandon Whedon was on hand to sign autographs at the auto show and had a chance really for the first time since the end of last season to speak with the media and face the hard questions about his future with the Browns. I thought he came off as a confident guy, and I guess that's what we should have expected.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Vic, I'll tell you what. I have been impressed with what everybody has said, and I mean, you know, the entire roster of people that have spoken during this offseason. I've been very impressed by what everyone has said. So I've been very impressed by Jimmy Haslam, what he has said. Really impressed by Joe Banner and what he said in speaking to the media over the weekend from Indianapolis. And then I was wondering, what was Brandon Whedon going to, you know, be like when people first came to him? And lo and behold, it wasn't long after the Indianapolis press conference with Joe Banner that Brandon, you know, spoke to the media, and I think he said everything the right way. Hey, listen, I'm ready to go. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to get my hands on a playbook. I really do believe I'm going to excel in any kind of competition against anybody that they throw at me, and I'm confident I can win the job. That's exactly what you want to hear from your quarterback. And to be honest with you, your president, CEO, and all those guys, I think the bluntness of everything has been refreshing to people, that you're not getting a lot of superfluous answers. You're just getting the answers. You may not like the answer, but here it is. This is reality.
And from Brandon's perspective, I think not only is it good to be the quarterback and be confident, to have the whatever swagger goes with that position, and there should be a lot of it, I think it's that, but I also think it's the reality of knowing that he has the best shot. He does have an inside track. Okay, obviously, because he was the starter, but more importantly, because physically, the big, tall, strong-armed guy that he is makes him the profile of what a North Turner quarterback looks like. Generally speaking, when you think of North Turner's offense, your thoughts go right to a Brandon Whedon. And my sense is that North Turner looks at him as someone he wants to coach, wants to see what he can do with him. And I think, you know, you talk about confidence. I think North Turner believes he could take Brandon Whedon and make him a much better quarterback than he was last year.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that that's what Whedon should be very excited about. And we've talked about this in the weeks leading up to where we are now, is that Brandon Whedon's going to get excellent coaching right now, both from Norv Turner and his head coach, Rob Chudzinski, who has done a great job with quarterbacks wherever Rob has been, certainly in Carolina, and he did a great job here in Cleveland. He pulled a year out of Derek Anderson that nobody has seen since from Derek Anderson. So he's going to get great coaching here, and I think that's something that he should be very, very excited about. And I think you're right. I think if Norv Turner is excited about dealing and trying to mold a little bit better and fine-tune Brandon Whedon, Whedon is going to be the recipient of just a great offensive mind and a great eye for quarterbacking in Norv Turner, and all of that I think is good.
And I think another element of this discussion, Jim, has to be that who else is out there to take the job. Now, it's fair to say that you could find somebody. This team could go out into the open market. This team could go anywhere, trade market, and bring in a quarterback or quarterbacks. They could certainly look to the draft, although when you look at this class and hear what the analysts have to say over and over again about this class, there isn't a lot of excitement. In fact, there's much the opposite. And it isn't just that this class isn't as good as last year's class that produced the top two overall picks and four first-rounders and five guys, rookies, that ended up starting last year. It's that this class just doesn't seem to have a lot in the way of elite quality. And if you drafted somebody from this class, expect it to take some time before he's your guy. So I don't think when you think of a true competitor for Brandon Whedon, that's not the guy that you're looking at. So maybe from that standpoint, from the Browns standpoint, the fact that this is a class that if you put Brandon Whedon in it, in it, he'd be number one.
I think you're right, yeah. Here's the other thing, too, Vic, is that I think that something that kind of bangs away at you, probably in everything you're going to do in the draft, certainly once you get to the draft, but in the lead-up to the draft, and if you're talking about making some kind of a move, is that you don't have that second-round draft choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is gone. I mean, that's not there. It's in the person of Josh Gordon right now, which is fine.
Yeah.
It really is. But you can't have any kind of buyer's remorse off of that. I mean, you have the kid. He looks like he's going to be a very, very fine receiver. And again, he'll be the benefactor of some of the good coaching that he's going to get here in the upcoming months and hopefully years. But you don't have that pick, so you cannot afford to give away too much more in that draft, or you end up without a draft, really. I mean,
right.
You know, and you still have a team and a roster that is kind of begging for you to still add talent to it, and talent that maybe can come in with some immediacy and play right away. If you start, you know, giving away third rounds or fourth rounds, then, you know, you're going to spend the first couple of days of the draft and you're not going to be doing much. And that goes back to a Phil Savage draft when he when he went and he got Sean Rogers and Corey Williams, and really the Browns did not pick until the fourth round, and they weren't in a position to be ready to do that yet. They weren't at that level to be able to take that on. So I think that second round pick, not having it, at least as we sit here right now, unless they make some kind of move to get back into the round, I think that kind of really, you know, kind of impinges on some of the plans that you want to do and kind of lessens your expectations for what you can do in that quarterback thing.
Absolutely. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Jim, let's go back to the comments that were made about Whedon at the Combine, because that was when we heard, of course, from Rob Chudzinski first. He does a breakfast last Friday, then meets with the national media, and then we heard from Joe Banner. But starting with Chud, he, and then he was on the show, too, and expanded more on the idea of liking the skill set of Brandon Whedon. Sounding eager, excited was the word he used, to coach him, to get him on the field and see what he has in him and what he can get out of him. And I think those are the kinds of words that tell me that there's a coach just being true to his craft, which is coaching and teaching and looking at something he can work with and make it better. So you just get the sense that, and when you hear skill set, and he didn't go into great detail about this, but I don't know that you have to, that it's hard to figure out what you're talking about in terms of big arm, in terms of size, in terms of a frame that can certainly get bigger, and a guy who stands tall in that pocket and can throw it, you know, downfield pretty far and execute the kind of offense that we expect Chud and North Turner to bring to the Browns.
Yeah, there are just – I flash back to, there are parts of last season where when you watch Whedon throw the ball, you just go, wow, that looks good. It sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks good on the other end of it. I mean,
the whistle effect, right?
Yeah, I mean, there really is. I mean, there are things that you look back and you go, boy, this kid really has a gift. And you're right, you know, Vic, I mean, he's got the size, so he's got the vision. It's just to the point now where he just needs more time. And I think that was comforting, I think. And I think reassuring to some Browns fans out there that when they heard from Rob Chudzinski and they heard about, you know, the fact that he was excited about getting with him and the him is Whedon and getting a chance to coach him, that I think that that made people feel better about it, that we weren't going all the way back and starting all over again. That start over again is a problem here, and it has been for a long time. So I think a lot of people are really excited about the fact that it looks as though these coaches – probably have broken him down every throw he's made in practice and in games last year and say, hey, listen, I think we've got something here. And what we know what you need to do to get that position better and the guy playing it better, we think we've got a mission here, and I think we can get it done.
Yeah, and for Joe Banner's part, for him to get into the idea that, to make the point, that players make their biggest improvements tend to, history shows, between years one and year two. And I think that's significant, and especially as it applies to quarterback. And that really was the example he used. He also used it in reference to Josh Gordon.
Yes.
But he used it first and specifically about Brandon Whedon, and that was telling to me, because that said to me that there's at least enough faith, I believe, that he has. And this is a longtime football guy. This is the guy who was involved with Donovan McNabb coming to the Eagles in 19 years in Philadelphia and has seen a lot of good, successful football. So something in Whedon triggers that thought and the belief that it can happen, and it's combined with the notion or the faith that they made a big investment. I mean, a big financial investment in bringing Norv Turner here. They did the same thing with Ray Horton, but in Norv Turner,
right.
And part of that, when you make that investment, you're saying this guy is going to make that quarterback better.
And the thing about Banner is that I've really enjoyed from the day he walked in here in his opening press conference is his bluntness. I mean, he's very blunt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he doesn't, you know, there's no flowery explanations.
No.
It's A plus B and it equals C, you know, and that's how you got to get there. And I think that he really put these young players kind of on notice. This is what we expect. I mean,
sure. Yeah,
it was okay. Your rookie year was good, but it's probably got to be better, and we hope that you think it should have been a little bit better, and we got to get you better right now. And I like that about him.
Yeah.
And I like the way he answers questions, and I like the fact that it's emotionless.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's not doing it with a smile. He's not doing it to act out anything. It's just, like I said, it's A plus B and it's C. I mean, you got to get to C.
Yeah, there is no real political agenda to saying that because, again, it can be as dispassionate as it sounds because he didn't draft these guys.
Right.
He wasn't involved in these guys coming aboard, so he takes that dispassionate view.
Well, and the other thing, Vic, is think about it. Through their rookie year, because it was such a young team, I mean, we were probably just, you know, energized by the fact that the Browns were playing so many rookies. And we watched their rookie season, and I think we bent on the side of leniency and said, it was a tough game, but, I mean, they'll be better next week. But at least they did this in the game. And I think Joe Banner is saying that's probably not the way it is in the real NFL. I mean, this is it. You're in the NFL, and you got to get here, and you got to win.
Right.
I mean, it all translates to making plays, and at the end of the day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to be raising the ball and taking a knee and winning the ball game. And I think that's what he did. And I think it kind of gave these guys a little bit of a peek inside the window of reality.
Sure.
You know, it's reality.
You good for another segment of blunt discussion?
Sure.
Jim Donovan, the blunt voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up. We'll talk with Jim about the combine and other Browns thoughts. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.